I have to admit at times, so often our prayers and my prayers can be centered around us and God answering in our time or what we desire. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. And we need to realize there are things that are way bigger than us that are connected to the answering of our prayers.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we continue our look at how we're to deal with impossible situations.
Yes, we do, Dave. And after some review, we're going to see some amazing truth about the timing in relationship to the Lord's answering of Nehemiah's prayer. It's really incredible. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
If you look in Scripture, you look at those who trusted the Lord, we see that their faith worked. Their faith worked, that true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing His Word, trusting in Him, caused them to then obey His Word and step out and do what He says. You know, sometimes when we are in difficult situations and we are praying, we are just waiting on the Lord. And yes, we are to wait on the Lord. And we saw that earlier in Psalm 37. But as we're going to see today, maybe as we wait, there are things that we should be doing in the context of faith so that we are ready when the Lord opens the door for what we're praying about. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. And I believe we're going to learn how to deal with impossible situations. We're going to see the second half of what we started last week. And we're going to look at Nehemiah's awesome example of faith working. I mentioned this last week from Romans chapter 15. We have these things written in earlier times that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We can look at these events and God will use those to encourage us then to trust the Lord. Now, as we're going through the book of Nehemiah, we've seen this incredible book begin, and I want to go through the context just to bring us up to that, but a little bit less each time. If you're just joining us in this series, feel free to go back and listen to the earlier ones that have a lot of context in them. But after the conquest of Canaan for the Israelites, they were in the land for 490 years. And after Solomon died, because of his sin, the kingdom was divided north and south. Northern kingdom, Israel, southern kingdom, Judah. And during the time leading up to the exile, the prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah to different groups, Israel and Judah, warned of the coming destruction because of Israel's disobedience in their relationship with the Lord and Judah's disobedience. It warned that they'd be taken captive. And certainly Israel was taken into captive by the Assyrians. And then soon after, Judah would be taken captive by the Babylonians. And within this, during this captivity, during this 70-year captivity in Babylon, we see that the Persians defeated the Babylonians in 539. And at this point, the Persian king Cyrus took over and he changed the foreign policy concerning captive peoples. And he decreed in 538 that the Jews could return to their homeland and rebuild their temple. We see that in Ezra chapters 1 through 3. Now, that was the first of three returns that are revealed in Scripture. Indeed, in that first return, 500 devout Jews chose to leave Babylon, where they'd become rather comfortable, and they went to their beloved Jerusalem to worship the Lord and to rebuild the temple. And within a year, they had laid the foundation, but yet there were difficulties, there were opposition, and they stopped. But yet eventually, through the preaching of Zechariah and Haggai, they finished and completed the temple. Ezra 6:15 reveals that was done in 5:16. Now, in the book of Ezra, it's important to realize that Ezra, we have Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, that Ezra actually chronicles two different time periods. In chapters 1 through 6, we have the first return with a portion in chapter 4 we'll look at today, which looks at the difficulties that each group of the three that came will find. We'll talk about that in a minute, the different time periods. But basically, chapters 1 through 6, the first return, and then chapters 7 through the end, the second return, which included Ezra himself. And then in Nehemiah here today, which we're looking at, it is the third return that we're going to look at. So then, Nehemiah is going to come this time, as we're going to see. He's going to return to Jerusalem, that way being paved for him today, and that will be in 444 B.C. Now, if you were with us in the past few weeks, you know that Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. This is an extremely high position in the Persian Empire. He is the cupbearer to the world's superpower's leader. This extremely high position. And then we saw, actually, last time in chapter 1, that he had heard about the condition of the Jews in Judah and also of the walls of Jerusalem, and he was greatly grieved that they were in great distress and the walls and the gates were burned with fire. You know, it's my thought, Nehemiah thought possibly that Ezra, who had gone 13 years earlier, had made some progress, possibly, but that obviously hadn't happened. There was still opposition, and he mourns, and then he prays. And as we saw, he prayed for 4 months, and then in the end of that prayer, as we saw in the end of chapter 1, it became apparent that God had placed on his heart that Nehemiah was the man that would be used by God to answer the prayer. But this is an impossible situation for Nehemiah. This is a difficult situation. You see, it's impossible because Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer, a very, very important position. And within that, having such a key position, it was highly unlikely that the king would allow him to go. And yet the Lord had put on his heart, as we saw, that he was the one to do this. And he wants to be used by the Lord to help those in Judah and Jerusalem. So then last week we saw how we should respond to impossible situations. We began to look, and we saw that Nehemiah prayed, that we need to pray. And within that prayer, we need to acknowledge God's greatness, that he is far above any situation. He is far above anything that this life or man could bring upon us. And we need to not give up. We need to be persistent while we intercede for his people. And we also need to confess sin as it relates to the situation that we are in. And then we saw through his example, he reminded the Lord of the promises in his word that applied to the circumstance. And then he gave his specific request, which is at the end of the chapter, which we'll read in a minute, that God would grant him success and compassion before the king as he was the king's cupbearer. So with that in mind, today we're going to see Nehemiah's awesome example of faith working. A lot of people have faith. James chapter 2, the writer says, you say you have faith? Well, I'll show you faith by my deeds. Faith is going to be manifest in a life that is changed and different. So then we're going to see Nehemiah's awesome example of faith. Okay, let's take a look at our passage. It's actually Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 8, but I want to start one verse earlier in chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, may thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name, and make thy servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. Then we have our passage. And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you were not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? Then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. This is a tremendous passage. And I don't think we understand the pressure that Nehemiah was under when he understood what God's will was to go before the king. The pressure that was under him to go and ask for these things. So then 4 months have gone by. Nehemiah has come to the point where he has asked God to make him successful and then to grant him compassion before this man, which is the king. And today is the day that he's going to go before the king and he's going to bring forth his request. But we need to remember that for God, nothing is impossible with God. That for God, he moves the hearts of the kings like water flowing in a hand. And so then, we have a man who truly desires to serve God and walk rightly. And we're going to see today is if you have a right walk with the Lord and you're trusting him, there's going to be a balance between God's sovereignty and our responsibility. You see, we get people that get caught up on both sides of these things. They get caught up on God's sovereignty and they never do anything. Or they get caught up on human responsibility and they do everything apart from God. You have these extremes that have nothing to do with someone who's really walking with the Lord. You see, we need to have a balanced view in our walk with the Lord. We walk by faith and we trust him, but that doesn't mean we're never going to do anything. There are things that we are to do, things we are called to do and step out in faith and do. And so we come to the issue of God's sovereignty in answering prayer and then leading us and then our responsibility as his servants to obey and walk in the truth that he has laid forth for us. So then we're going to see that genuine faith, great faith works. It does. You see, Nehemiah prayed and he trusted God's sovereignty over the circumstances, but yet we're going to see today he prepared and he was ready to step out in faith when God brought forth the answer to his prayer. And I venture to say a lot of us pray about things, but we don't prepare at the same time trusting the Lord. We don't prepare for when God gives us the answer, whatever it might be. We're not prepared for those things. We just wait on the Lord. Well, yes, we do wait on the Lord, but waiting on the Lord doesn't mean we don't do anything, as we're going to see today. Nehemiah did do some things, as we're going to see, and we're going to see his faith worked. So then, how are we to deal with impossible situations? Obviously, we need to pray. We saw that last week. But also, we need to wait patiently. Chapter 2, verse 1, and it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. You remember back in chapter 1, verse 1, it was the 20th year of Artaxerxes. This is the Persian king in the month of Chislev. And he was in Susa, the capital. That's of Persia. And he was obviously functioning as the king's cupbearer at that time. Now, in chapter 1, we have that date, which would have been somewhere around November or December of 445 B.C. Now, I'm saying it's 445, and then the next portion will be 444. There are some that say it's 446 and then 445, but it doesn't matter, okay? We know it happened. I believe it's 445 and then into 444. So you have November, December, and now we see in chapter 2, it's been 4 to 5 months that he's been praying this, that he's been grieved over the circumstances of the Jews in the land. He's been grieved over the walls and the gates having been burned with fire. And he's been praying to the Lord. He's been praying. He's patient. He's waiting. He's a godly man. He has not stepped out on his own yet and done things. And we do that at times. We pray about something one or two times and we step out and go do it. Well, maybe the Lord is leading us to do it at that time, but maybe he is not. Nehemiah waited on the Lord. Waited for the Lord to reveal the timing in which he would step forward and do what he needed to do. You see, we need to wait on the Lord to lead us. And as we're going to see, it's not simply leading us. We're preparing while he is doing so. Look at Psalm 25. Look at Psalm 25. David was always in difficulty, a lot of difficulty. And when he was in difficulty, he would share how he's waiting on the Lord to deliver him from those difficulties. Trusting, waiting. And you see faith in the midst of that waiting. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God, in thee I trust. There you go. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who what? Wait for thee will be ashamed. We're waiting for God to act upon his character and promises. We're waiting for him to lead us in the right way, which we're praying about. Now, the timing is up to him, as we're going to see, but we're waiting. And those who wait for him are not going to be ashamed. But notice he says, those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day. Hey, I'm waiting, but I'm waiting, and I want you to teach me. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. It's not just simply waiting for an answer. He wants to be godly. He wants to be more like Christ. As we'll see, the Christ that would come from his loins, him being of David's seed. And so then we have here him waiting. And then look at verse 19. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. Godly men want to be taught the word of God. They want to hear the word of God. But godly men wait, and then they're listening to the Lord through his word. Psalm 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Verse 14 of Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Be patient. I read this earlier. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37, verse 9, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Wait for the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Psalm 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, for why do I wait? My hope is in thee. We wait for the Lord. Turn to one other passage, Lamentations chapter 3. And while you're turning there, remember Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. I'm not just waiting in general. I'm hoping in what he said. I'm filling my soul with his word. I want to be taught his ways. It's not just stagnant waiting, as we'll see. Lamentations chapter 3, and this is where Jeremiah is broken up and embittered over the destruction of Jerusalem. And he's talking about how bad it is. But then he says in verse 20, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down before me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who what? Who wait for him. He's good to those. Nehemiah is going to say later on, the hand of my good God led me. He's good to those who wait on him. To the person who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Seeking the Lord, and his solution and his timing and his character. So then, part of waiting on the Lord is, as we'll see, waiting on him in the context of seeking him and wanting to grow in his character, waiting on the Lord. Now, there's a timing also that we're going to see. We're going to see that part of waiting on the Lord is waiting on his timing, too. God's timing is perfect. We don't know what time is the right time to do things. God's timing is perfect. And at this point, the perfect timing came this day. This day. Let's look at our passage. Actually, I'm going to read from 111 on. O Lord, I beseech thee that thine ear might be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name, and make thy servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. And it came about in the month of Nisan, 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. Now, folks, I have to admit at times, so often our prayers and our prayers can be centered around us and God answering in our time or what we desire. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. And we need to realize often there are things that are way bigger than us that are connected to the answering of our prayers, which we seem are so self-focused or self-centered in a sense. We see the situation merely about us, and we're praying to him. That's right. We need to do that. But often there's more to it than just that. And that's the case with Nehemiah. This was a situation where the prayer, when it would be answered, had much more to do with some very huge things the day that it would be answered, rather than just what Nehemiah was asking for. And you say, what do I mean? Well, turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. You see, God answers prayers according to His will and His determined time, because there's much more going on than just what we see and understand. Daniel chapter 9, and I'm not going to explain this in detail. I could spend the whole hour on it. You'd probably still say, I'm not sure if I understand that, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at Daniel's 70 weeks. And if you were with us when we went through Revelation, I spent a lot of time on that. We probably have some CDs on that you can get. But in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel comes to understand from the book of Jeremiah that the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70 years. He comes to understand this, and then he is brought to his knees, and he prays. And his prayer is very instructive for us as he confesses iniquity and the corporate iniquity of Israel. And it's in the end of his prayer we see that God gives him quite an interesting answer. Daniel chapter 9, let's look at verse 21 to start. While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, that's an angel, okay, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to you. Oh, this is great, this heavenly scene. He's praying, and all of a sudden there's a command in heaven issued, and he's respond to it. He says, I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. He's praying about Israel coming back into the land because of 70 years up. He's realized that from Jeremiah, it's 70 years, it's coming up. And so he's praying, confessing sin. And then all of a sudden, this angel comes and is going to give him insight into these things. And this is really important because this helps us with our end times understanding, but it's also important for what we'll see today. Verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city. Again, I don't have time to explain this, but it's 70 weeks of years. I could have a week of days. A week of days is seven. A week of years is 7 years. 70 weeks of 7 years, that's 490 years. He's saying 490 years have been decreed, and what for? For your people, that's the Jews, very clear. He doesn't say for any other nations. He says for your people, Daniel. Daniel was praying about Israel specifically, and for the holy city, that's Jerusalem. Okay? And then look at the middle of verse 24. He says, here's what's been decreed. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. What was Daniel praying about? We are such a sinful nation. We deserve what we've got.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our lesson today, you made a very important point about the timing of answered prayer. Would you share that again?
Yes, Dave, indeed. We've just begun to see and will see in the case of Nehemiah that God answers prayer according to his will in his determined time. And so often there is so much more going on than just us. Indeed, in this answer of Nehemiah's prayer, it came at a very specific time, which really had little to do with Nehemiah and much to do with God's grander plan. So then, some of you have been waiting in prayer for a long time. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. Wait on Him. You've prayed about a financial crisis that's not your fault, difficulty at work that's not your fault, relational difficulty, problem with a marriage, ministry, whatever it might be, a physical issue, and God has seemingly not answered your prayer. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. Wait on Him. there's much more going on than just your request. So then, make plans to join us tomorrow as we continue looking at this wonderfully encouraging study.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.